Hey everybody, Joe Massa here on The Measuring Post, and today we've got another wonderful episode. Today I brought on somebody who's been through a lot over his 30, 40 plus years of business experience. He actually went through something that would shake and rattle most people. He was burnt all the way down to ashes and had to completely rebuild himself. This man is the founder of ICANN Speaking and Coaching. He's a transformational speaker and mindset coach, helping people shift their perspective, overcoming barriers, and also taking intentional action. He's going to be bringing nearly 30 years of lived experience to this interview. So with that in mind, I would love to introduce to you Mr. Jerry Linarducci to The Measuring Post. Jerry, how are you today, sir?
Joe, thank you so much. Listen, before we get started, these types of discussions and interviews, we're not in person. So I want you to know how grateful from the bottom of my heart I am for you even giving me some of your space to potentially help some of your audience.
Yeah, and honestly, Jerry, it's my honor and pleasure. I appreciate you giving me the time to explain your story and talk about what you went through to get from point A to point B. And I know we've been talking for a little over a month now trying to get this on the books, but we've had personal issues that had to be dealt with, and life happens sometimes. But when I first met you and we did our pre-interview and just sort of got to know each other a little bit, I knew from that very first conversation that we needed to have you on the show to explain not only what you went through, and I'll let you get into sort of the meat and potatoes of that story, but what you were able to bring out of that sort of debacle. And that's really what intrigued me, because this show is what I like to call a place to learn and grow together. And you can't grow and you can't learn if you don't get knocked on your butt a few times. And your story certainly strikes me as one that truly is the epitome of that description. So before we get into your ICANN coaching and speaking platform, how'd you get here, Jerry? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you living at now? And what sort of shaped your journey into the ICANN movement?
Well, the Cliff Note version, I'm an immigrant. I came to this country in 1966. My parents got here. Why? Because of the American dream. So I became a U.S. citizen when I was in eighth grade, and I never looked back. I got into the insurance industry in 1996, 97, if I'm not mistaken, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it because what I was able to do, the relationships that I was able to build, the friendships, most importantly, that I built over the 30 years, it gave me that sense of closure and feeling complete. The human soul is constantly looking for affirmation from others. And that industry, that business gave that to me at the time. And then as my business continued to grow, evolve, and expand, where I was one of the top 10 advisors in the world, not just in the U.S., in the world. There's an organization called Million Dollar Roundtable, and it's a worldwide organization. The very first time I went to that meeting, it blew me away. The opening ceremony was like the opening ceremony of the Olympics. They had the parade of flags of every nation that was represented in the facility, in the hall. So that was very, very motivating and moving for me. Then I started saying to myself, when I start to slow down, when I hit 60, 62, I never wanted to retire or quit the industry because it was too much fun, but I wanted to slow down. I wanted to work with my A clients or my best friends and then sell my book of business to someone else. And through the years, I said, what am I going to do when I slow down? And I said, you know what? I've been using the same coach for the past 22 years. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And we have developed a great relationship, both professionally and personally. And David knows everything about me, everything, because your coach has to know everything about you, especially your weaknesses, not just your strengths. So he said to me, you ever think about coaching? And I said, yes and no. And he goes, listen, I heard one of your conversations. You're ready to coach AAA and AA ball players. You're not ready for the single A or the majors, but you're good enough to start working your way up from the bottom with coaching. fast forward to 2022, June of 2022, I left the industry, dropped the majority of my licenses and went to work for a gentleman. And come to find out 2 years later, it was a bad business venture. And the word sucker punch, unless you have ever been sucker punched, you never know how hard that hits and how hard it physically feels. Well, I didn't physically get punched, but I got sucker punched mentally. That it destroyed my purpose, my integrity, my home life, my family life, my friendships. 2 years ago, Joe, if I said to you, hey, Joe, I got a couple of extra tickets coming up to the World Cup final in 2026. You want me to hold two of them for you? I won't say the Super Bowl because I'm not really into professional football, but the world of soccer, yeah, right? I would have people lined up fighting for those tickets. Today, I couldn't give them away. So my world has changed in the last 24 months where I was down and out, and I continue to be down and out. I'll share this with you. Just yesterday, I had one of the worst days in the last 3 months, and that's even worse than losing my dad. Last month. Yesterday was very, very hard on me, both mentally, emotionally. But I'm here this morning. We have to brush it off. What I am going through, and Joe, please, this isn't a Jesus trip, right? But my faith is what is keeping me alive and moving for the next day. And couple of months ago, I was watching The Passion of the Christ. I just turned it on for some reason. And I realized to myself, Jesus Christ, the night before he died, knew what he was going to endure. He knew what was going to endure. We as humans, we do not know what the future holds. So if Jesus knew what he was going to endure, why wouldn't I have enough guts to go to sleep and wake up the next morning and face what is about to happen, which is the fear of the unknown. So getting knocked down, beat up with brass knuckles. When I was a kid, the whole thing were the Chinese stars and the brass knuckles, right? That's what I got thrown at me.
Yeah, and we won't get into the specifics. I know that's an ongoing circumstance that we won't touch all the details, yep, names, and topics. But essentially what had happened was you were put in a position that you brought your trust, your value, your experience into a business venture that really flipped you on your head and took sort of your trustworthiness away from you by no fault of your own. And unfortunately, I love that you said your faith is keeping you in things. And because while this is not necessarily a religious themed show, I'm a God-fearing man, and I'm a very firm believer that you do get what you can handle. But also, I don't have the answers. You don't have the answers. God's will and God's vision is always going to be the right way to go. So sometimes you do got to get beat up with some brass knuckles, just so you can say, I was so focused on this, I had my blinders on, that I had to get my head knocked back and forth to go, oh, I need to be looking this way. Yep. And I think that's what you're sort of in that stage of doing right now. But I love that you're being vulnerable and sharing that, like, you're down and out right now. You were one of these people that was at the Olympic style introductions of business ventures. Yep. And you got knocked all the way back to square one. And that's something I think a lot of people really struggle with understanding is, everything is temporary, good and bad. Your peaks are temporary. Your valleys are temporary. And you might be on top of the world making millions of dollars. And then next year you might be broken on the streets and you just never know. So there's this old slice of humble pie we always got to remember is in our refrigerator. And it's enjoy the times when they're good, but don't sulk in them when they're bad either, because temporary is the name of the game. And follow the plan that God put in front of you and you'll certainly get to where you're supposed to be.
Joe, I couldn't have said it better to myself. My analogy is I got to ride that wave as long as that wave can support me, because the wave is going to eventually die out. So the wave died out. And when Charlie Kirk was murdered, that hit me. I didn't know the guy. It hit me. So the reason I decided to share my faith, that is the legacy that Charlie has left behind for me, is not to stand behind your faith and hide behind the curtain. So I think if more of us could be open to that frame of mind, it would make everything so much easier with individuals. So that's all I'll say on that, because I don't, you know, we'll go.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate it. I think there's a lot of strength in saying that. And you don't have to believe in what Charlie Kirk believed in, or you could maybe believe every word that came out of his mouth. That part is irrelevant. What he did teach was be firm in your convictions and share your truth. You don't have to be pushy. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to attack people that disagree. But if you're unwilling to share your truth in your own soul, you're never going to find truth in real life, because you don't even accept your own truth. So while you don't have to stand on the street corner or go to college campuses and preach your word or truth, if you can't at least live it in your own day-to-day life, you're never going to know real truth, because you can't even face yourself. And I Correct. Think that's a big thing that you can take from that.
Absolutely. And I look forward to continuing to carry on his legacy in a small way for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. I think it's important for people to spread good words. And, you know, as a God-fearing Christian myself, I was raised Catholic. You know, mm-hmm. I believe in that. And I believe that God is my true savior and Christ is him. And
yep.
While I can't make everyone believe what I believe, I'm never going to be embarrassed to admit that I believe in God. And if you don't, I'll still pray for you, but I can't change your mind. But you're never going to change my mind. So, I mean, a lot of conversations, they're worth having to at least get your line drawn in the sand.
Yep.
But I can't change people. You're never going to change unless you find truth yourself. And
Correct.
I would highly encourage you, if you want to find truth, look inward. Don't look at everyone yep. around you. Don't look at the Charlie Kirks. Read a Bible. Read whatever's yep. inspiring to you. Look inward and you'll find who you really are.
Absolutely. 110%. Never mind 100%. 110% agreed.
Yes. So, Jerry, getting back to sort of the crisis, we'll call it the crisis.
Yes.
What after the crisis happened, where you kind of lost everything, obviously, you know, and then in recent months, you just mentioned you just lost your father. Thoughts and prayers for you on that. I know how difficult something like that could be to go through. I'm blessed to still have my father, who's a great man. But just, you know, from the outside looking in, what are you doing and how are you sort of, for lack of a better cliche term, rising from the ashes out of this? And I know that ICANN coaching and speaking, I'd love to talk about in just a moment, but what sort of outside of your faith keeping you grounded and like helping you get to that next level?
Yeah. So it is a lot of belief in yourself. So I will say for about 2 months, I walked around dazed, confused, just the picture of, I don't know if you ever watched the movie called Midnight Express, where a bunch of gentlemen in the Turkish prisons would just push this wheel and just go in a circle and not go anywhere. And that's where I visualized myself just walking around in a circle, not going anywhere, because I didn't know what to do, how to act, what to say, and who might have been around the corner if I went out that could be wanting to do physical harm, because threats up to 3 weeks ago still continued to happen every day. So, and it gets to the point where how low can people go when they threaten a 5-year-old grandchild and a 3-year-old grandchild? And I'm not making this stuff up, because I have the text messages, right? And screenshots to prove it. So it's like, what do you do? How do you get your mind? So after you brush yourself off, right, it's kind of like, I have a very good friend who's in the boxing business, one of the greatest hand wrappers and cutmen in the business. His name is Jacob Duran. He goes by the nickname of Stitch. Everyone has seen him if they've ever watched a Mike Tyson fight. Put it to you that way. He was Tyson's guy. So the question is, who do you have in your corner to help brush you off? And in my case, it was my coach, who believes in me, not believed, believes in me, who helped pick me up, because we need others to pick us up when we can't pick ourselves up, or we don't have enough strength physically to pick ourselves up, and mentally. And once I was able to stand up on my own without wobbling back and forth after being knocked out, the fuzzies start to leave. And it was like old school TV when the TV shut off at night at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and you had nothing but that snow. And then at 5 o'clock a.m., the first thing you would see and hear was the Star Spangled Banner with the American flag on the television. Well, that now I'm totally focused. That is where I am today. The snow is gone. I'm totally focused because there are people that rely on me as a husband, a father, a supporter, and most importantly, a grandfather. Because my life now is to serve and enjoy my grandchildren for as long as I'm here on earth. And I am convicted to that. And that's where I think people do not understand the difference between belief and conviction. You said yourself, no one's ever going to change my mind. To me, about Christianity, to me, that is conviction. It's not a belief. So when you are that deep rooted in whatever it is, you have the capability of doing whatever your mind is capable of thinking of doing. It may not happen overnight. It took me 30 years to get to where I got. So I'm not expecting to make up 30 years in 5. No. I understand the road ahead of me is going to be difficult, but now what I have to do is I have to think mentally outside the box of how can I get to where I once was in a different industry, but not alone. Who can help lift me to jump over several hurdles much, much faster, save energy to continue moving forward in the manner that I need to be moving forward to get where I want to be.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between where you were when you were 20, 30 years old and you're starting a family. You're a bit more money hungry. You're more ambitious, just as humans in general, because that's sort of our formative trying to find your way in the world, make your path, blaze the trail, if you will. But, you know, you as a gentleman that's a grandfather now, you don't maybe have 30 solid working years ahead of you where you can rebuild what you did in 30 years. So now I think, and I would imagine, and stop me if I'm wrong, It's more about also building a legacy for those grandkids and showing them how to do things the right way, how to believe in yourself, how to find that motivation from within you. Nobody's going to sprinkle motivation dust on you and give you a rainbow trail all the way to freedom. It doesn't work that way. You got to pick up the hammer and the nail, and you got to grind every single day. And you have to do that in a way that is your own truth. It's something that at the end of the day, when you're, you know, hopefully many, many years from now, laying on your own deathbed, are you proud of what you did in life? Are you filled with regret, or are you filled with contentment? And there's only one way to do that. And it's the right way. And the right way can be different for you versus me. But if you're following the path that God put in front of you and you're helping your community and you're supporting the people around you, that's when you really find out what you're made of. Anyone, and I don't want to say anyone, but a lot of people can go and chase the American dream of making millions and billions of dollars and getting the white picket fence and the pool in the backyard and all of that. And that's all fine and dandy. But did you make your world around you better? Did you make your community better? Did you make your family better? That's what true success is, in my opinion.
You hit the nail right on the head with the hammer. You know, I look at... I'm just going to call this wisdom. The wisdom that I have is because I have heard and people have shared their knowledge with me. That knowledge turns into wisdom because I now know what I need to do so I don't fall in that trap of, I wish I would have, could have, and I didn't, right? So one of the things that happened probably about a month before my dad passed. Of course, he understood what was going on in my world. And I wanted to have this conversation before his mind went elsewhere and he didn't recognize people and stuff like that. And I said to him, I said, Dad, I don't think you've ever lied, and I don't want you to. But do you believe I did it? Down deep in your heart. And he said, no, because I didn't raise you to be that type of individual. The reason I had to ask that question is I have had clients who, remember, I was in the life insurance business, and they all said, I wish I would have asked this. I wish I would have asked that. So for me, I did not want my dad passing and me living the rest of my life with, did my dad think that I did this? For me, that would be baggage that I would be carrying the rest of my life. And when we carry baggage with us, it keeps us from being the person that we are meant to be, that we are supposed to be, that we have been designed by our greater power to be. And people want to go talk to shrinks and all of this stuff. I'm not saying they have their place. But people have to understand there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And when someone is sharing their wisdom, you need to be open to take it, because they're giving you the secret to happiness, to success, to live a life without regret.
I love that. Sorry. You had the time and the ability to ask that question, because how many times do you hear about somebody who passes unexpectedly and you were holding that thought, that feeling, that question that now is outside of your ability to ask? So this is another sort of unrelated. I just want to throw this in real quick, because I've had people close to me unexpectedly die, car crash, cancers, things that all of a sudden my ability to just pick up a phone has been taken from me because their Absolutely. Life was taken from them. Yep. If you're ever having some sort of feeling internally about a friend, a family member, a significant other, your child, your work, anything, get it off your chest. That's a piece of wisdom in itself right there. Don't hold those bags, because you can't get on the plane with all those bags. You got to let go of some of it, and you got to take the weight off your own shoulders so you can become that person. So I didn't want to get sidetracked, but I think that was very powerful what you said.
Well, thank you so much. And I guess we can just end the interview right now, because
right out of here, Jerry. We didn't even talk about all your work that you're doing now. So, I love that you're sharing all these sort of, and these are tough moments in your life, going through a business crisis that took away basically everything from you financially, trustworthiness, losing a family member, your father, struggling with other family members that I know have had some health issues recently. Through all of that, to get onto a camera on somebody you barely know, we barely know each other other than a few conversations, to be this raw and open, it's the main reason I do this show. And some episodes are more fun and upbeat and lighthearted. And ones like this, which are a little more raw, they're a little more emotional, but I think they're so powerful, because much like the wisdom you can hear from somebody who's sharing something, I'm a big firm believer too. Read a book, because what you're getting from a biography is somebody took their entire life and they condensed it into a book that thick. Yep. That is wisdom. That's years of lived experience you can't get unless you lived those years of experience. So by reading and listening and tuning into people be raw and vulnerable, you're getting years of lived experience condensed into a very short format that's digestible. And if you apply it, it might save you the years of having to do it yourself. So I love that you came on here to share this information, because it also reminds people that we're not alone. Some point, we're all going to lose moms and dads, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. Nobody gets out alive. So, we're all going to go through this gauntlet, whether this year or next year, maybe it's already happened. Maybe it's 50, 60 years from now. That part's irrelevant. It's a very short blip on the actual radar of the bigger picture. So we have to share these experiences, because they're not unique to you or me or the next person listening. We're all going to go through them. So how do we, as the ones still here, lift each other up, rising from the ashes?
And being vulnerable and honest with others. We've all heard that story. No one knows what happens behind closed doors inside the four walls, right? Yeah. But I'm not saying you have to air out your dirty laundry, but perhaps you can leave the door open just a little bit to let others provide you some insight, some wisdom, some experience that can help you bring that into your wall, into your home, and have a much deeper conversation, which brings the family together. And now you're all on the same page versus, I don't know about this, that, and, you know, all the other bull crap that comes along with it. I was going to use some other adjectives, but I didn't know if I could or not. So.
Oh, we're not live on the radio or TV. There's no FCC watching this. So I was in radio long enough. I just am pretty trained to not use swear words, but they don't scare me, I promise. But, you know, I think you said something very insightful there as well. You know, leaving the door open a little bit for somebody to kind of give you some information, because put it in this perspective, like, you know, if you go through loss and then I go through loss 5 years from now, you've had 5 year head start on me in that maybe particular segment. And you can say, I can't tell you how to feel, but here's what helped me, right?
Yes.
Here's some knowledge that was given to me that I came across that benefited me. Take it or leave it for what it is. But put it in this perspective, if you're not willing to think that you should learn from other people, that would be like, I want a house, so I got to build my own. Instead of having the guy that knows how to do it build me the house, I'm going to just say, well, I'll build it myself because I don't need any help. And I'm, you know, I'm a man or whatever. That's ludicrous. You learn from the people before you. Wisdom is not meant to be gatekept. It's not meant to be hoarded. That's why people open libraries and open schools. Yes. We should pass knowledge down the line. And sometimes that's emotional trauma damage and knowledge. Sometimes people go through a lot and people like have a lot of loss, or they've maybe even on the other end of it been the perpetrator of somebody that caused grief.
Yeah.
That's an experience that can be shared, and that's knowledge that can be taught. But you can't do that if you're closed off, your door is closed, and you're unwilling to learn it.
Not just unwilling to learn it, but unwilling to accept it, because the majority of people are willing to share it. But is your heart open enough to accept it?
That's, I like that better.
It's almost like your glass is half empty or half full, right? So it's, if you accept it, it means you are accepting what it is that that individual is trying to share with you. And then you decide whether you want to take it for what it's worth, or if it's a bunch of hogwash.
Yeah, so, but you're never going to know if you don't at least open your eyes and ears and heart to understand what's being told to you. You have to at least be willing to, you know, capture that information before you can make a decision on it.
Absolutely. You know, someone, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, they were beating me up online. Who gives you the right to be a coach? What makes you the expert on giving people advice? And I said, are you that obtuse? Are you that narrow-minded? I said, the greatest football coach that won 4 or 5 Super Bowls, he did not have a certificate on the wall saying he went to the NFL football coach college or university. He was a former player. Your manager, the manager who is going to be in the World Series tomorrow night, is Don Mattingly. Does he have a certificate on his wall? No, he has the experience of being one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game. My certification is I got beat up with brass knuckles. I brushed myself off and I'm sitting right here. How did I do it? If you're willing to accept the wisdom that I'm willing to share, I can help you. If not, I don't have time anymore. I'm 62 years old. I got to go help people that want my help. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. And put in the perspective of somebody going through addiction.
Yeah.
You know who most people that teach addiction courses, they're not the people that are high and mighty and looking down and judging you. They're the people that were former addicts that live the street. They walk the walk. They talk the talk. That's why they can get in front of you and go, I truly know what you're doing and where your mind's at. I was there. And there's a value in learning from somebody that's shared your experience, because it's an instant sort of trust that's built. I can go, I can trust this person because they're speaking words that truly resonate with me, and I understand that they know that I know what's going on. So with that in mind, I'd like to segue that over a little bit. Yep. So tell us now that you're in this coaching space, I, as in like your eyeball, ICANN Coaching, what is the mission of ICANN, and like what's sort of the philosophy behind this coaching brand?
Yep. So number one, I'm going to give my grandson Sage the props of naming ICANN. I was reading the book. I was reading The Little Engine That Could story to him, and ICANN. So I said to him, what about if Nono is grandfather in Italian? I said to him, I said, what if Nono named his new business ICANN? I can do it, just like The Little Engine. And he smiled. I saw something in his face that said, wow, I just gave Nono some love right there, because he by saying that. So what ICANN Coaching, it's business coaching, but it's business coaching from a different perspective. It's not, I'm going to email you a 55 or a 155 page PDF book. There is no script for our coaching. It is a unique experience of an individual hitting a wall, and it's kind of like those little toys, you know, the bumper cars that can hit the wall, move back, and then go, and they hit again. My job is to help you flip the switch on the bottom of that little car, so when it hits the wall, it turns around and goes the other way. So how do I help individuals reshape the way they are thinking? Because school has taught us what to think. They have not taught us how to think. And if we think about how are we thinking about things, it changes the whole perspective on coaching. So, you know, for hundreds of years, there's all these studies that are in sales, you have to make 10 phone calls to get 3 appointments to get 1 sale. Well, what if I have been using a system for the past 30 years that I made 10 phone calls with 8 appointments and got 6 sales? See, we're making the same amount of effort. We're putting the same amount of effort in getting the 10 calls made, but why am I getting 5 more better results than you are? My verbiage is different. My story is different. My personality is different. And having the opportunity to turn into a chameleon, to be on the same side as the person that you are coaching or you're doing business with. Be empathetic. You've mentioned, you know, how raw I am. I'm raw like this with every single one of my past life insurance clients. You know, I was just sharing this with a coaching client today. I said, you need a license, a real estate license, just proves that you know the regulatory requirements of that industry and that in that state. That's it. That piece of paper is not going to make you successful. And there is a movie out. I'm not here to promote movies, but the line in that movie was powerful. And it was The Founder with Michael Keaton, the story of Ray Kroc and McDonald's. And the most powerful line in that movie is, the world is full of educated fools, because you have people that have all these certifications, but they don't know how to put the knowledge into everyday life. So how can I help you take what you're having struggles with? And if I have walked in your shoes prior, I can tell you, Joe, be careful. There's an object in the road a quarter mile ahead. You know, that little GPS on Waze or Google Maps or whatever that says there's something in the road. Keep watch out for it. That's what I am. I'm the person who says, you're getting ready to make a very big mistake. Let's pivot and use some other terminology and use a different type of strategy to get you to that same place.
And you can only do that if you've been in that circumstance or going down that road. You can't know that there's an object in the road if you didn't drive it earlier in the day or early in your life. But one thing that you didn't actually say the words, but it's something I picked up on because it's something that I do very much outside of hosting a podcast. I run a podcast network. We work with a lot of thought leaders, a lot of businesses that are looking for different marketing strategies, different ways to be on shows, whatever you name it, marketing media, we do that. But I do not like to have cookie cutter programs.
No.
And that's what I heard you say without saying it. I can't just say this is a one size fits all that'll work for Jerry and Lisa and Bob and whoever. Doesn't work that way.
Nope.
You have to really put yourself in the shoes of the person you're working with. And that's what you said that really struck me, because if I don't understand who Jerry is and what Jerry wants, I can't help you. I can give you some basic generic advice that might help you on surface level, might give you some sort of better ideas than you had. You might come to a conclusion on your own. But if I can't dive deep and pull sort of the onion layers back on who you are, where you came from, what you're trying to do, the vision that you're trying to accomplish, this won't work, you know,
correct,
more than just superficially. And you see these things online, these coaching programs. I love them because it's amazing to me how many people are like, I rented a Lamborghini and look at me, I'm a millionaire. Yep. And just this one click system for $27, you'll be making $400,000 an hour and you'll do it from a laptop in the beaches of Bali. And I'm like, who believes this stuff? I mean, because they're targeting the people that are looking for this. The algorithms feed you this stuff over and over again. And if I spend enough money on ads and you see me enough times, you're going to go, man, this guy must be rich because I've seen 45 ads in 3 weeks and they're all of him living big and luxurious. When in reality, I created a garbage program that's cookie cutter that won't help you more than superficially. And I just flooded your timeline with it to the point where you believed me because I'm on every feed that you have, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, whatever. You know, I would much rather go somewhere where there's quality to what I'm getting instead of just like, I've been duped. You know, the veil's been pulled over my eyes.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that I believe in very, very strongly. In the mindset, do you have the abundance mindset or do you have a scarcity mindset? If you have a scarcity mindset, most of those individuals are the DIYers. Well, I can't do that because I don't have this. So another coaching client that I had this week, I asked them, would you take 70% of something or 100% of nothing? And his mind was so complex. And I said, when I was at the pinnacle of my life insurance career, I had relationships with 27 other life insurance professionals who were coming to me because they knew they were over their head and they would lose the deal. So I only took 30% of the pie because I'm not involved in the whole thing. I meet with you, AKA Joe, once to introduce myself. And then I'm doing all the behind the scene work with the rep and he's giving me 30%. So if I, just for easy math, if I have 20 individuals that are paying me 30%, I am making 600% commission versus on my own doing 50 or 60 or 70% of commission. So how do we think about thinking different? And that's what ICANN coaching is about. It's not that cookie cutter solution, because there is no such thing as a cookie cutter solution.
You're absolutely right. And again, I've heard it put in many ways that are very similar. And it's like, you know, I'll take a okay plan today over a perfect plan tomorrow, because tomorrow is always going to be tomorrow. You're never going to get perfection. And again, would you rather take 100% of zero? No. I mean, but it's 100%. Who cares if it's zero? You know, and I get that a lot on podcasting, like going back to my network, we'll get people that are thought leaders, say they're a health and wellness leader, and they go, I only want to be on podcasts that are in the top 10 in the category.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have the same conversation, but more like this. I say, would you rather be on a podcast that has 100,000 downloads per episode, but only one person of that audience engages with your business? Is that more beneficial? Or would you rather be on a podcast that has 500 downloads per episode, but 30% of their audience engages with your business. Do the simple math. It's a no-brainer. So are you chasing vanity so you can say, I was on the Mel Robbins show or one of these massive shows? Or are you looking for engagement? Those are the different qualities, vanity or engagement. Pick your poison. I know which one I would choose over and over again. I'd rather be on a smaller show that actually resonates with my target audience than just be like, look at me on my pedestal over here. You know, so very similar.
You just hit the, again, I'm not going to, you just said it perfectly. Target audience. So many people in sales today go after anyone who walks in their store, their shop. They don't have a ideal client or their niche market. You know, it was kind of, I'm working with a gentleman who is a manager for an alarm company, and I'm trying to negotiate a contract so I can train his salespeople. And what I said to him was, who are you? Who are your best customers? And he's like, I don't know. What do you mean? I said, do you sell alarm systems to customers who have $200,000 homes, or do you sell the alarm system to customers that have 8, 9, 1 million plus homes? Because the value of the stuff that's in the 1 million plus, they need to be, have alarm systems on there. The ones that, you know, are living in the $200,000 home, that's a totally different clientele. So what is your niche market? And so I said to him, I said, let's call him, we'll call him Joe. I said, Joe, what's your hourly rate? You're in sales, you're 100% commission. So how much did you get paid for an hour? And he looked at me. I said, see, this is what success is, why you're not reaching the success. You don't even know how much you make an hour, but yet your product, you make $200 commission. So you went out today and you worked for 10 hours. You sold one product. You made $20 an hour. Tomorrow you're going to go 10 hours and you're not going to do anything. So now your average, your hourly rate went down to $10 an hour. And if you don't sell anything during the week, dude, you would have been better off going to McDonald's and White Castles and flipping burgers and making more money. And he just stared at me. And I said, Joe, I am not trying to beat you up. I am trying to help you understand that you have worth, you have value, and you're the only one who can give yourself a 300% pay increase, because there's no employer in the world that you can go into your boss and say, hey, Joe, I'm making $30 an hour. I want you to pay me $90 an hour. What they're going to say is, there's the door. Make sure you shut it and it hits you real hard on the way out. But as an entrepreneur, you have all that. You are. I gave myself almost a 400% pay increase in 2010. Because that's why I say I can impact lives. I'm not giving you a manual. I'm giving you the experiences of who said yes, who said no, how to. I have so much processing through my head. I apologize, Joe.
You're good.
People in sales get paid by the hardest questions that they ask. So the tougher the question, the higher the commission is going to be. So how do you put yourself in a position to ask the toughest question that you have ever had? So my son was pitching that night, I don't know, 30 years ago, because he's 34 now. So 20 years ago, whatever. He was pitching on the mound that night, and I was an hour and 45 minutes away from the ball field. And I was trying to close a deal, and it was opening day baseball, the Yankees versus the Red Sox. And I'm in the client's home, and the husband keeps on leaning over like a cameraman does on the cartoon to see if he's got the thing in focus. He keeps on leaning around the corner so he could see what the score was for the ball game. So what's my value? I'm not feeling very, very appreciated at this moment. And people have been in that in those positions, salespeople. So I did one simple thing. Took my glasses off. Now I'm an actor. Joe, with all due respect, can you please, this is your home, would you mind shutting off that ball game for the next 45 minutes? Because if that ball game is more important than what we are talking about right now with your spouse, I don't want to be here. And the reason I don't want to be here is because my son, he's the opening pitcher tonight for opening day for Little League. And I would rather go to his game than sit here and try and get you to buy something obviously you don't want, you don't understand, and you don't think you need. And he goes, that's fair. And my response was, which means I'd really like to watch the game. He called my bluff. So I shut my stuff, and here's what I said. Joe, here is my card. If you ever have any questions, please feel free to call me. And if I have time, I will entertain answering your call. That's confidence, that's conviction, and that is belief of what you do. But more importantly, I did not want to lose my value and miss my son's game.
So I would throw another word into those ones you just said. That's also priorities. Yes, you could chase that dollar, but you'll never get back that game that you got to watch your son pitch on. You could make another dollar. You can't make another 14-year-old boy starting the pitching mound that day, that game, that circumstance. So priority was a word that you forgot to add in there that I would have added. But one thing you also said I think is valuable when you're talking about being an entrepreneur, a business owner, and you're talking about what is the value of your hourly rate. Here's one thing that we do as business owners. I've done myself many times. And as I've gotten better at being a business owner, I catch myself doing it and I have to pull myself back to center. We get so caught up doing the busy work, the work that doesn't move your financial needle, that we forget we're not being busy. We're being wasteful of time. Like if you spend 5 weeks designing the perfect logo before you start doing business, you are 5 weeks behind everyone that you're doing business with, because that will never move your needle. Nobody has ever started a business account because, well, look at that bank's logo. Woo! I mean, Wells Fargo is a W and an F.
Yeah.
I mean, they're zero brain power one into that because they are doing what they do. They're a bank. They're doing bank stuff. Yep. They don't care about logos. Yes, you need to have a marketing image, branding. That's all valuable. But if you're spending more time looking good instead of being good, your hourly wage is going to it's going to tank.
Yep.
So I agree. You got to focus on those needle moving activities.
Absolutely. The way I describe it is, are you working in your business or are you working on your business? Right.
I like that. I'm going to steal that one, Jerry.
I patented it. So I'll expect my royalty. No, I'm only teasing.
Okay. I'll slightly switch it up.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, if I may, Joe, just 30 seconds.
No, you're good.
Part of what ICANN Coaching does is we help you with the on and in your business. So I use a yearly calendar as a roadmap. And I say to myself, there's 365 days a year. How many days in 2026 do I want to physically work? 180. That means I'm going to take 6 months off through the year and I'm going to work 6 months. Right now, I know I only have 180 days to work. Out of those 180 days, I have to give up industry events I don't get paid at, CEs and all of this stuff you don't get paid at, but you have to work. And that's exactly what you're describing. So now from 180, I'm down to 140. Well, now I know I got 140 days to make $300,000. Now, if my hourly rate is only $140 an hour, I need to figure out a way to get up to a higher hourly rate so I could achieve my goal of only working 6 months out of the year.
And really, that's the brilliant way to look at it that's overlooked, you know. And we've gotten so stuck in this culture, like this hustle culture, that, you know, working 80-hour weeks is great. And look at me, I'm high and mighty. That's the crappiest way to live. Because that's not living. You're living to work, not working to live. So
yes.
I agree. Find a way to value your time, but still get what you're worth. And you can only do that by doing the right kind of work, not the busy work, not the pretending to work, not the doing the stuff that makes you look busy when you're not busy, and then getting in the middle of something busy and going, I better take a TikTok break. You know, it's so easy to get distracted, but that's why it's really important to maximize your time. So if somebody wants to learn from you specifically, where can we find you online, social media platforms? What's your website? Where can people find more about what's on the horizon for you?
Listen, people that are innocent don't hide. So I'm out on the world wide web. My website is icandoit.com, just like it's spelt. I'm on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I am, as we speak, creating my YouTube content channel. I've got some courses that I'm going to be putting up and selling those on the website. I have a couple of books that you can purchase right off of my website. It was interesting you said about reading earlier in the interview. I wrote my very first book as my legacy. So three generations from now, they will open that book and they will see what their great, great, great grandfather did. When I used to speak to my great grandmother on my father's side, very, very fragile old Italian lady, but she loved her trunk that she brought on the boat with her when she came to America. And we happened to have that trunk. It was empty up until 3 years ago. So now what my wife and I have decided to do is we have decided to put on paper what our family is all about. And that trunk is going to be handed down to the next generation that 100 years from now, instead of people taking your pictures off of the wall and throwing them away, and the house that you worked so hard for is being lived in by somebody else, and the car you drove is nothing but scrap, my legacy is going to be in that trunk in words, so I can have an emotional tie with individuals that I am never going to meet.
I love that. Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. And yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. It doesn't matter because look, in three generations, the house I live in might be resold five times. They're not going to walk in and go, oh, this is great granddad Joe's house. No one cares about that.
No.
Material's great in the moment. You know, I love having a nice shirt on, a nice house, cool car. Those are all fine and dandy. You can't take them with you. So leave something more valuable, but maybe less tangible. Leave your legacy, leave your emotions, leave your wisdom behind.
Yep. Absolutely, not on this computer, but on my laptop. My new screensaver is a picture. My dream was to go to a World Cup soccer game with my dad, and I had the opportunity in 1994 to take my dad to Boston to watch Italy play against Nigeria. And now that memory, I can still smell getting on the airplane. I remember cracking open the bottle of Jack Daniels and toasting with my father to a hope Italian victory in Boston later on that day. The euphoria that my dad and I went through when Roberto Baggio scored that goal to get him into the next round, right? But those are things that will live in us forever that so many of us take for granted and we forget.
And you know, there's not enough money in the world that you would ever want to have to give that memory up. So again, that just goes really back to this whole conversation of what's truly important, and you got to value those things and not get distracted by the shiny objects. And remember that when you're on your deathbed and you're looking back, is there regret or is there contentment? And I hope the latter is what you find in your life. And Jerry, I'm really happy to have you on and share this. I think it's been really insightful.
Joe, again, as I started, I'll end it with this. Number one, thank you for putting me on your platform. And number two, I just hope and pray that some of your subscribers, your listeners, whether it's with me or with someone else, it's not about doing business with me. Would I love it? Yes. But seek an individual out that you can trust that can help lift you to get to where you want to go. Because no one great, the only one who did it was Jesus Christ, but no one great has ever achieved greatness by themselves. They've had others lift them up. from professional athletes to movie stars to CEOs to even Elon Musk, he said he gives credit to the people that helped him get to where he is today. That's what we have to understand. We can't achieve it by ourselves. I just want to play a very, very small part in jacking you up to get to where you want to go.
Well said. And yeah, I wholeheartedly endorse you, Jerry. Again, I'll put links around this video. ICanDoIt.com. You can find him at ICanCoaching on Instagram. Links will be available. Definitely check him out. Read his books. Learn from the experiences that he's had and people like him. I very much agree. You need the right tribe around you to kind of lift you on their shoulders and show you the way. So, Jerry, again, thank you for your time on The Measuring Post. Can't wait to keep the momentum going and learn more from you. And we'll have our next conversation soon, my friend.
I look forward to doing it. And Joe, just to let everybody know, if they do reach out to me, let me know you came from this presentation, and I'll even give you copies of both of my books. I'm not out here to make money. I just want to spread my story.
You heard it, guys. Get in touch with Jerry and get those books, and you know, let's build from here together. So again, Jerry Leonarducci, thank you for your time on The Measuring Post.
God bless.